Blog Talk Radio.
We're here discussing child development with some experts. Tell me the normal development of, say, a two-year-old.
Hi, Trump.
So a child that age should know 2 to 4 word phrases. Good. And what about cognitive development? Ah, engaging in pretend play. I see. And what of social
development? Anna!
Being enthusiastic about the company of other children. All right, thank you.
It's time to change how we view a child's growth. It's not just physical. There are milestones your child should reach in how he plays, learns, speaks, and acts. A delay in any of these areas could be a sign of a developmental problem, even autism. The good news is, the earlier it's recognized, the more you can do to help your child reach his full potential. Talk with a doctor, visit cdc.gov/act early, or call 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Learn the signs. Act early.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keyes, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. Also, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeyes@hotmail.com. I want to thank you so much for your support in the show. We're headed toward 90,000 downloads of the podcast, and I could not have done that without your support. So thank you, thank you, and thank you. Well, today I'm speaking with a wonderful guest who's the head of the Autism Society. He's the president and COO. He's also a father of a young child with autism. And before then, he was a national chapter president. And he's been in the nonprofit world for quite some time, not just in Autism Society, but with other nonprofits. Good evening. I'm so used to doing morning shows. Good evening, Scott.
Good evening, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much for calling in. This is Autism Awareness Month, but I think people need to be aware, not just this month, but all throughout the year. Now, you took this job. Do you think that you would have taken the job as president and COO if you did not have a child with autism?
That's a great question. I don't know. I've been asked that before. I've always been fascinated and known people with autism and fascinated by their skills and how great people they are. That may have led it, but I definitely also knew from the journey we've had with my son, who's now 25, that support and help is needed to a lot of parents and individuals. And that probably is what led me to this job. And it's been a blessing that I have both my son and this job. So it's great to be part of it.
So at what age did you find out that your son was autistic?
We found out Evan was autistic at age 10. Actually was diagnosed by a psychologist who had Asperger, and which I tell a lot of people was really, very, very something for my wife and me that we both really appreciated, because our first reaction was, okay, Evan, who has high functioning autism, you know, we saw someone who was an adult who was fully functioning, was working in a very good profession, and that said to us, okay, this is not, this is good, this is okay, we're going to deal with this.
And what do you think your family and friends, how did they react when you had to tell them?
You know, I have a very, very accepting family, and you know, we joke that there's tremendous differences among all of us in a family. We have 4 children, and 2 of our children are adopted from South Korea, 2 are boys, 2 are girls. And autism is just an additional difference that we have with one of our children versus the other 3. And I think we've always felt that way.
I'm sorry. What do you think some of the challenges what are some of the challenges you faced in the school system when your son started to go to school after the diagnosis? Were there resistance that you got from the school that in terms of getting him other services, or were they very open? Were they prepared to give him other services?
Well, you know, I think like any parent, you start with a fight with the school system, but then you quickly realize that the school wants the best for your child, but the question is defining what the best is. In my case, we lived in Florida at the time, and the school district we had our son in, had 170,000 students. There was not a person, this was 1997 or 96, I think, there was not a staff person on the staff of that school district with 20,000 employees that had a full-time responsibility for addressing the needs of people with autism. So we when we left, there was a full contingent of staff and the school system. So part of it was, you know, we saw this as a way that we would have to educate and train and learn and likewise teach the school system. We were fortunate that others helped us with that, and others, you know, set the journey ahead of time to open up some real good opportunities for our son. You know, it is a difficult thing. It's every parent, and we talk to parents regularly, will tell you that they want the best for their child, as we all do. And sometimes the school districts don't have that same feeling. So it's a tough battle. But when our son graduated high school, we celebrated it with all his team and all the people who helped him at school. They all attended his graduation ceremony, and we probably saw this was a team effort. And particularly, the leader of our team was our son. So.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm glad you brought up that he graduated from high school, because based on your website statistics, you're saying that only about half, a little over half of the children diagnosed with autism finish high school. And that is a fear that parents have once they, you know, find out that their child has autism. You yourself even said, oh, wow, well, the psychologist, you know, had Asperger's, so that gave you some kind of hope,
right,
you know, for your child's future. What are some tips you would give parents?
One is that, you know, high school is not, it doesn't have to be a four-year process. A person who is defined as having autism is almost always entitled to remain in the high school and take up to his 21st or 21st birthday to finish high school. So one is the pressure of completing 4 years. The school district may want you to do that, but you don't have to. So making the system not so demanding on your child. As we know, with people with autism, transition from middle school to high school is not always easy. So the ability to work on the integration of that transition for your family and for your child is real important. The second thing is during the day, like any of us, people need some time out, and the ability for you know, to have a schedule, but also to allow some free time and some time just for the individual, your son or daughter, to have some time to think and relax, mm-hmm, and kind of de-stress is real important.
Now, one of the things that we talked real quickly just before the show started is about the financial burden that's brought on. And recently on CNN, they were talking about the cost for a family of people putting out, you know, loans, a home equity line of credit. One lady mentioned spending $200,000 in the last 8 years on her 11-year-old son. How does Autism Society, do you have services that help connect people to maybe financial resources or funding to help them cover, like, copays and things of that nature?
Yes. Yes, we do. We work with families to make sure families understand the differences of what is available and not available to care for the child, who they could turn to for support. In almost every case, the federal government's Medicaid program, administered through the states, is the primary vehicle. Unfortunately, almost in every state, there's significant waiting lists, 5, 6, 7 years in some states. So it's not easily achievable to find the money. We also at the Autism Society recognize that we cannot allow autism to be something that the haves get treated and the have-nots don't get treated.
That's a really big issue.
I mean, there's definitely a division between the levels of treatment and the type of treatment individuals with wealth get versus those who don't have wealth. And that's wrong, and we work on that daily through advocacy, encouraging people to be more fair in appropriation of dollars and cents.
Let me just mention to the audience about your website. The website is autism-society.org. Also, you guys are on Twitter, @AutismSociety, and you're also on Facebook. I put the link in the chat room for the Facebook room. You have a lot of wonderful programs, and one of the things that caught my eye was the Klondike collaboration. They did a nice little cartoon. Talk to the audience about that.
Well, we got approached by them. They're a potato company, and so Quality Potatoes, and they wanted to promote the awareness and acceptance of autism in the month of April, and approached us, and we, you know, felt this is a great partnership. And as part of that, they put a cartoon, or it's not a cartoon, I guess it's a storybook, of a potato who is shy, and another potato student learns that the potato that's shy has autism. But it's a journey, and it shows how the success could occur, and it's really good. It's Klondike potatoes. So if they look on the Klondike diet, unfortunately I don't have the website, but Google Klondike potato.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll post it out so people can see where it is.
It's also on our website under the news. If you look under the news icon, it comes up there too.
So now, what do you see for the future? Because you haven't even been the president of the society for not even a year. You got there last year. So what do you see in the future of the society, and maybe new initiatives or programs that you might try to develop, or things that are already there you want to tweak?
Well, I think a couple things. One is we want to have the Autism Society be viewed as a partner, a friend to an individual with autism, a family, professionals, and be there for their whole lifespan. Autism is not something that is just there for a few years and stops. So we want to be able to work with families, and have families have the trust in us that we can help them through life stages. The second thing is we want to change the national discussion of autism. Autism is a condition, but the resulting impact of that condition is high unemployment, high poverty, lack of housing, lack of medical treatment, lack of everything. And, you know, we're in a society that, rightfully so, we're concerned with high unemployment rights. But, you know, when we're talking 70-80% of adults with autism are unemployed, that's a society shame, and we need to start addressing that. We need to hold, you know, programs and supports, help employers, help individuals find work, but promote the value of adults with autism and their importance. Autism is something that an individual with autism could proceed and could maximize independence and dignity and autonomy, and we just have to get our nation to accept that. We've been a great nation to bring groups that have had difficulty being at the table for discussions, and the next step is to bring the autism people with disabilities to that table in the community.
Well, I think you guys are doing a great job, and that's why I wanted to have you on the show. Again, for those who are just tuning in, I'm speaking with President and COO Scott Badish of the American Autism Society. Their website is autism-society.org. Also, you can follow them on Twitter at Autism Society, and they're also on Facebook, so check them out. They need support. They need financial support. You can also become an advocate. There are lots of ways to volunteer. You can go to their website and check out state-by-state resources. If you're a parent, if you're a caregiver, if you're a researcher, they have a lot of information there that will be very helpful to you. And you don't just have to do it in the month of April. You can do it all year round to learn more about autism. Scott, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story about your son. And I wish you much success being the president of the Autism Society.
And thank you for your advocacy of autism and letting your listeners know. It means a lot to us. And listeners are out there. We have 130 chapters. Look for a chapter in your community, get involved. You don't have to have even a relationship to autism to get involved. We need people, good people, to help us, and I know all your listeners fit that bill. So thank you, Joy, for what you're doing.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful evening, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I just got off the phone with President and CEO Scott Badish of the American Autism Society, and you guys need to support them. They're doing some wonderful work. They have some great information. And as Scott mentioned, that autism is a lifelong, situation that has to be dealt with. It's not just children. And unfortunately, adults with autism are being kind of left behind in the workforce, financially, emotionally, and we need to step up as a society to support them, because many of them are able to hold jobs and they have lots of valuable skills. But they need to be connected with the right businesses, and businesses need to be educated about people with autism and what they can bring to the table. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. This coming Saturday, I'll be speaking with jazz singer Catherine Russell. She's in the top 10 on Billboard jazz charts. And also Ghanaian-Canadian singer Kay Sun at 11:30 on Saturday. So tune in Saturday, April 21st, to listen to some great music, all different kinds. This is Jazz Appreciation Month. That's why I'm having Catherine on. I hope you can tune in. Thank you so much.
We're here discussing child development with some experts. Tell me the normal development of, say, a 2-year-old.
My truck.
So a child that age should know 2-4-word phrases. Good. And what about cognitive development? Ah, engaging in pretend play. I see. And what of social
development? Anna!
Being enthusiastic about the company of other children. All right, thank you.
It's time to change how we view a child's growth. It's not just physical. There are milestones your child should reach in how he plays, learns, speaks, and acts. A delay in any of these areas could be a sign of a developmental problem, even autism. The good news is, the earlier it's recognized, the more you can do to help your child reach his full potential. Talk with a doctor. Visit cdc.gov/act early or call 1-800-CDC-INFO. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Learn the signs. Act early.